almost flying.
Tracy shows a sense of wonder at this new life.
It's just so helpless and new and freshly alive. And that's just such an intimate encounter with the world for me.
You can hear an extended interview with Tracy Brimhall at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. Independent media and truth-seeking voices are under attack in America. The current presidential administration has shown its willingness to impose a political ideology on the news and in the everyday media that we consume. By using the FCC to threaten broadcasters' licenses and using news distortion lawsuits against outlets that report the news, the president and his lackeys are silencing voices and threatening to put people out of business who don't comply. Once storied legacies like CBS News are now all but dismantled, and what's left is basically just a bullhorn for Trump. You know the real problem, though? Corporations are scared. By kowtowing, major media outlets are simply hoping to survive this regime. Even worse, sympathetic billionaires like the Ellisons are taking advantage of the moment to further consolidate their media empires. They want to gobble up news, Hollywood studios, streaming services, and more. We can fight back against this, though, through supporting media with a purpose. Grassroots radio stations like X-Ray FM, platform voices like mine that speak truth to power and make the voices of the people heard. They can't do it alone, though, because they don't sell advertisements like streaming services or commercial radio do. They have to rely on the support of their listeners. That's you. Public-supported radio stations are only strong when their listeners, you, are engaged in the work and become members. So please, if you like the programs like mine that are available to this community, become a member of X-Ray FM today. And if you're already a member, consider renewing or increasing your membership during this spring pledge drive. All you have to do is go to the website at xray.fm and hit that big blue donate button or call 503-233-9729. That's 503-233-X-RAY. Tell them Tom sent you and tag your it.
You're listening to X-Ray FM.
KXRY Portland.
At 91.1 and 107.1 FM.
And in Nehalem.
Wheeler.
Manzanita.
And Rockaway Beach.
At 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere.
Live and archived.
At xray.fm.
Radio is yours.
Radio is yours.
Hello, X-Ray listeners, and welcome again to Jazz in Portland. I'm Tom Skelly, filling in for Thomas Smith, to let you know of some events for this very busy week of April 20th. This is the week of the Mount Hood Jazz Festival. From the 22nd to the 26th, there are events at the Mount Hood Community College Theater and several other jazz venues around Portland. Monday, April 20th, at the White Eagle Saloon and Hotel, 836 North Russell Street, the Sugar Roots Blues Jam, 6 to 9 p.m. Tuesday, April 21st, at Pizzario, 337 East Main Street in Hillsboro, Laura Kennard's Live Jazz Jam, 7 to 10 p.m. Wednesday, April 22nd, at Rivaderci, 17023 Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard, Alto's Gone Wild, featuring Julie Hudenpyle, Barbara Ayers, and Julie Ermer, 6 to 9 p.m. Thursday, April 23rd, at Alberta Street Pub, 1036 Northeast Alberta Street, Zach Connolly with Marvin Matarang, Max Tucker, Marshall Peterson, Max Reynolds, and Thomas Theriff, 7 to 9 p.m. Friday, April 24th, at Artichoke Community Music, 2007 Southeast Powell Boulevard, Anandi's Maiden, Oregon, 7 p.m. Saturday, April 25th, at Sabor Latino, 1325 Northeast Broadway, Steve Christofferson with Laura Stillwell, David Evans, and Ron Steen, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Sunday, April 26th, at Al's Den, 303 Southwest 12th Avenue, Chance Hayden's Desert Room All-Stars with Sean Holmes featuring Richard Arnold, 7 p.m. Stay tuned for more info on Jazz in Portland and streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Thanks for listening. Enjoy Portland music.
abortion and rape. Give them lots of violence and plenty to hate. Give the people what they want. Give the people what they want.
Woo! Hey, welcome back to the second hour of our program. Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer resigned yesterday, and are Trump scandals drowning out democracy? I mean, what a greatest hits list she leaves behind, right? She allegedly had an affair with her own security detail. She kept bourbon, Kahlua, and champagne in her office. She took staff to a strip club on a government trip. By the way, she used to represent the district right south of here, didn't she, Sean? Yeah, she was a congresswoman from Oregon, a Republican. She got kicked out. Anyhow, she used taxpayer dollars to fake official trips to visit friends. Her husband got banned from the Labor Department headquarters after two female employees accused him of sexually assaulting them. And she reportedly retaliated against those women. Meanwhile, her elderly father was texting young female staffers asking them to keep their meetings private, and she had told them to pay attention to the men. She's the third woman Trump has pushed out of his cabinet in 7 weeks. Kristi Noem gone in March, Pam Bondi gone earlier this month. Meanwhile, cabinet men with worse track records keep their jobs, and that's just one scandal. I mean, Steve Witkoff ran signal chats from Russia. NVIDIA got clear to sell chips to China for a 25% kickback. Trump tried to fire Fed Governor Lisa Cook over bogus mortgage fraud claims. J.D. Vance is meddling in prosecution. Steve Bannon once said the way to beat the media is to flood the zone with crap. It appears to be working. I mean, I think you could say democracy dies when nobody can keep track. But this is what's going on. Trump's scandals, I mean, it's like every day there's a new one. It never ends. He's going back and forth and back and forth on the war. He's making billions of dollars with his crypto scams. Now this World Liberty Financial has got its investors all freaked out. He was selling these tokens, these so-called, you know, digital tokens, which are just little GIFs, just little pictures. And people were buying millions of dollars worth of them just to get access to Donald Trump or to get pardons, apparently. The guy is selling pardons. There's insider trading. I mean, yesterday we did this whole thing, you know, for the BBC did an extensive report. It leads the BBC, news podcast, or at least it did yesterday. I listened to it last night going to sleep. Where they found that there's these huge spikes, I mean, literally in some cases, minutes before Trump would make an announcement. Now, that could be a couple of things. It could be either Trump or members of his family are doing these trades. And by the way, there's two different agencies that have oversight over this. Consumer Protection Bureau, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, and the Securities and Exchange Commission. But they're both run by Trump toadies. And so they're not looking at anything. So that's a possibility. Another possibility is that Trump himself is doing this. And a third and really astonishing and outrageous possibility is that Trump refuses to use a secure phone. All right, he's got his little Android phone, and he, you know, I can't say for sure that he's still using that, but during his first term, all 4 years of his first term, he refused to use a secure phone. And I can tell you from experience, when the 7 years that we lived in Washington, D.C., I walked by the White House every single day on my way home from the TV studio and from our studio, the radio studio. And whenever I walked by the White House, my phone would get warm. And my battery would drop about 5%. And this is presumably because of Stingray devices. Stingray devices are these man-in-the-middle attacks where they pretend to be cell phone towers. They transmit on, the 3, 4, and 5G frequencies. 2, 5, and 6 gigahertz bands. And your phone thinks it's talking to a cell phone tower. And the way that these stingrays work is on the transmitting side, they're saying, hey, I'm a cell phone tower, I'm T-Mobile, I'm Verizon, whatever, you know, hook up to me. And then on the back end, they're hooked into the internet so that it appears that you actually are connected to your cell phone provider. But they are in the middle. And so everything that goes through your phone, they can access, and the really sophisticated ones can simply drain your phone of all its information. Now, that happened to me virtually every day I walked by the White House. I talked about it on this program probably 100 times. And later we found, after Trump left office, that in fact, the Israelis were running a stingray operation out of a hotel across the street from the White House. So let's say some Israeli spy or some Chinese spy or some Russian spy or some Iranian spy or whatever has tapped into Trump's phone and can listen to everything that he's saying and see everything that he's doing. They've turned on his microphone and his camera, and they're just reading everything he's writing on Truth Social, and they're going, "Oh, look at that! I'll make a few million bucks here this afternoon." It's actually hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars that have been made in these trades. So here we have the most corrupt administration in history. I mean, literally in history. We've got a presidential son-in-law who has no official position, couldn't even get a security clearance. He was turned down by the FBI for a security clearance, who's taking $6 billion from the Saudis and other Middle Eastern interests who want Iran destroyed. And he's the guy who's negotiating with Iran, and without any diplomats, without any nuclear experts, with nobody. Other than Steve Witkoff, who's a real estate billionaire, who's Trump's, you know, good buddy from New York, whose son is in business with Donald's sons in this crypto grift. I mean, Laura Chavez de Remer is just she's just the most recent. And then you look at Cash Patel out there getting drunk every day. I mean, it's wild. It's wild. Meanwhile, a new report from the West Bank Protection Consortium says that Israeli soldiers are using rape as a weapon in the West Bank. Researchers interviewed 83 Palestinian communities and documented 16 cases. Of conflict-related sexual violence over 3 years. And those were just the cases survivors were willing to report. Palestinian men, women, and children described forced nudity, invasive body cavity searches, Israeli soldiers exposing themselves to minors, and threats of rape. In Wadi el-Sheikh, settlers and soldiers stripped, this is a town in the West Bank, settlers and soldiers stripped villagers, urinated on them, and attempted to assault one man with a broom handle. They photographed it. They shared the pictures. Little girls are quitting school. Their parents are marrying off their daughters as young as 15 to protect them from the Israeli soldiers. More than two-thirds of families surveyed said rising sexual violence was the breaking point that made them leave their land on the West Bank. That's an ethnic cleansing by humiliation. And who's paying for it? You and me with our tax dollars. It's incredible. It's incredible. Will Silicon Valley turn your nurse into a gig worker? I'll tell you about that right after the break. Stay with us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Talk media for the sane among us. I'll be right back with you. And welcome back. Lisa in Seattle. Hey, Lisa, what's on your mind today? Lisa in Seattle, listening on KBCS.
Oh, excuse me. I just wanted to say the oil scam that's going on, I think it's a scam because when they attacked Iran and raised these prices, we already had enough oil in this country. It takes approximately 90 days for oil to get from Iran over here. So if you're looking at it, the oil they're selling us for $6, $7, $8 a gallon has already been here, and I think it's a scam by the current administration to help their oil buddies get filthy rich. And they announced that the economy got better in the last month, and they said it was all on gasoline spending. Not that we're growing, but it was. So what I'm saying, it's a scam. They already had that oil. They're selling it because I guess they wanted to inflate the prices. Now they're selling American oil, and you know they used to wouldn't sell American oil because they said we might need it in the future, right? They're selling us the oil. It's a scam, and I can't believe it. Now I understand why a week after they attacked Iran, the oil prices went up.
You're absolutely right, Lisa. And we are buying oil that the American producers are producing at the cost of, you know, $15, $20, $25, $30 a barrel, depending on where they're producing it. And they are using this as an excuse to jack the price up. It's just that simple. It is a scam. Now, we may begin seeing some impact from this in the next week or so, because as you correctly point out, it takes a few weeks for the oil tankers to get from the Persian Gulf to wherever they're going. And we still do buy imported Persian Gulf oil. And so, you know, there will be some consequences. And by the way, if the strait gets reopened, which it doesn't look like is going to happen any day soon, if the strait gets reopened, it'll take a couple of weeks to get that oil out again. And so now you've got, in South Korea, they just went to odd even days, you know, where they're saying, you know, if your license plate ends in an odd number, you get your gas on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if it ends in an even number, it's Saturday, you know, et cetera. And, you know, like Jimmy Carter or like Richard Nixon did back in the 70s. And Nixon imposed or maybe it was Carter, one or the other of them, but back in the day, they imposed a windfall profits tax on the oil companies because the oil companies did the same scam back then. Although we were still back then, we were importing a lot more oil from the Middle East than we are now. But, you know, we hit them with a windfall profits tax. The Republicans will not even think about a windfall profits tax because they get a lot of their money from the oil industry. And then the other part of this scam is truly astonishing, Lisa, is that in Alaska, the one state in the union that figured this out, when you produce oil in Alaska, you have to pay money to the state of Alaska for that oil. And that has created this $1 trillion Alaska permanent fund that sends a $2,000 check to every man, woman, and child in the state every year. It's like a basic universal income, universal basic income. And other states, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, the other states where, you know, throughout the Midwest where oil is and missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. A lot of people wonder, where did this whole right-wing movement to basically gut our freedoms and end DEI and all this other, where did this all begin? It all started back in 1951 with a book called The Conservative Mind, From Burke to Eliot by Russell Kirk. And he argued that if the middle class ever got too big, you'd see young people and women and racial minorities all get up on their hind feet and start protesting and basically screwing up America. And in the 50s, you know, even Republicans thought he was nuts. But then the 60s happened and all those protests. And suddenly Republicans thought, yeah, he's right. We've got to destroy the middle class, or at least cut it back. And that was Reagan's mandate when he came into office in 1981. There's a whole article about this. You can read all the details. It's titled, The GOP's 60-Year Conspiracy to Kill Our Democracy. None dare call it treason, but I will. Over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out.
You can feel it in the air.
20 minutes past the hour, so is Silicon Valley going to turn your nurse into a gig worker? A report just out from the Roosevelt Institute sounds the alarm on what they're calling, get this, this is crazy, Uber for nursing. Seriously. Shift work for nurses. Companies like ShiftKey, ShiftMed, CareRev, and Clipboard Health have raised hundreds of millions of dollars from venture capital, and they're turning bedside nursing into piecework. Nurses bid against each other. Who's willing to offer the lowest price? Oh, I'll work for, you know, give me $5. I'll take $3 an hour, $2. When nurses bid against each other for shifts by offering to work for less. And then come the fees that the nurses have to pay. One nurse's $23 an hour ends up as $13 an hour after that nurse pays for the app's safety fee, the app's insurance costs, the app's payday fees, and the shift fees. Now, in this world of piecework nursing, there are no supervisors, right? It's on an app, right? There's no accountability. There's no training at the facility. I mean, can you imagine? And now these companies are running the Uber playbook in state legislators. They're aggressively lobbying, pouring millions and millions of dollars into buying state legislators. Of course, a process that was legalized when Clarence Thomas was the deciding vote in the Citizens United scam that legalized the bribery of judges and politicians. They're lobbying to get nurses classified as independent contractors and with thus no labor protections at all. Not covered by labor law, no right to a union, no right to a minimum, nothing. Colorado already passed this. We thought Colorado was progressive, right? Your loved one's nurse could just be a stranger who happened to bid lowest on the app. I mean, that's not health care. That's a race to the bottom with your life. And this highlights a larger problem with our whole health care program, our whole health care system in the United States. And that is that we think of health care as a business. Right, we behave like it's some kind of a business, like it's just. I mean, you've got for-profit insurance companies inserting themselves between us and our doctor. No other developed country in the world does that. Those for-profit insurance companies are making billions of dollars in profit, and that money is going to their executives and their shareholders. No other developed country in the world does that. You know, President Sheinbaum in Mexico just announced that starting this year, they're phasing the program in, and by the end of next year, it'll be fully implemented to have a free national health care program, including free pharmaceuticals or very low-cost pharmaceuticals. They do it in Costa Rica. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. Louise and I, we had a family vacation in Costa Rica. My sister-in-law had rented a house down there, and all of us went down. We got cheap airfares, and it was really a nice time. And we took a cab from the airport to this rented house, and it was about a half-hour cab drive. And the cab driver is telling us about how his son just graduated from medical school. And we're like, whoa, that's just great. How did he afford to go to medical school? The cab driver's like, well, medical school is free here in Costa Rica. All college is free in Costa Rica. We have we have one of the best educated people in the country, in the Western Hemisphere. And I'm like, well, he's going to be a doctor. He's going to make a lot of money. Well, yeah, he's going to have a good living. He'll be upper middle class. But we also have a national health care system. Health care is free here, too. So, yeah, he's going to make more money than your average laborer. But he's not going to be a millionaire. But he likes this. He likes serving people. He likes being a doctor. I mean, this is how it works in the rest of the developed world. Costa friggin' Rica. And, of course, that's how it is all across Europe. But here, healthcare is just another profit opportunity. You got, the Senator Rick Scott from Florida. How did he make his money? He's a multimillionaire. He's the richest guy in the United States Senate. How did he make his money? He ran a hospital chain called HCA. What did HCA do while Rick Scott was its president? It engaged in the largest Medicare fraud, billions of dollars, if my recollection serves me right. I mean, look it up for sure. Billions of dollars, or at least hundreds of millions of dollars. He walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars in Medicare fraud. He didn't pay it back. The company paid it back. I mean, this is healthcare in the United States. We have 65,000 people a year, according to the Harvard Medical School. 65,000 people a year in America die simply because they couldn't get in to see a doctor in time. We have one of the lowest lifespans in the developed world. We have the highest infant mortality rate and maternal mortality rate in the developed world. And why? You could say poverty, because we have we've got a small handful of insanely rich people, and then we've got, more than half of Americans don't know what they would do if they lost their income for a month or hit a $1,000 expense they couldn't handle. That's 60% of Americans. That's part of it. But how do we get there? How do we get so poor? How do we get so screwed? Our health insurance. We spend about $15,000 per year per person on health care in the United States. Canada spends $6,000. They get better care, better service, and that's true, by the way, of all the rest of Europe and Costa Rica and now soon to be Mexico. But no, we can't figure this out. Why? Because the Republicans are on the take from these people. It's insane.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And now Silicon Valley is running apps to turn your nurse into a damn gig worker. What say you? I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. Trump lunges at the nuclear codes. His labor secretary drowns in sleaze. ICE snatches an army wife. Israeli soldiers terrorize Palestinian girls. And your nurse goes gig. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report. News for the public, not the powerful. You can sign up at commonwealthreport.news. Did Trump reach for the nuclear codes? Donald Trump's story on Iran changes by the hour. In less than 48 hours this weekend, he swung from claiming Iran, quote, agreed to everything, to threatening that the whole country is going to get blown up. He told ABC that Vance wouldn't fly to Pakistan. Then his UN ambassador and energy secretary said, oh, yeah, yes, he would. Staff scrambled to clean up the mess. Trump claimed Iran promised never to close the Strait of Hormuz. Iran promptly announced they're closing it. He told The Hill that gas prices will drop the minute this war ends. A week later, he told Fox News they'd stay about the same. Iran's foreign ministry flatly denied they'd agreed to hand over enriched uranium. Vance proposed a 20-year nuclear moratorium at the talks. Trump rejected his own VP's offer, saying, I don't like the 20 years. And how retired CIA analyst Larry Johnson alleges on the Judging Freedom podcast that Trump reached for the nuclear codes on Saturday and General Dan Kane stood up and said, no. That's unconfirmed, but deeply troubling. This is who's got the nuclear button. Are Trump's scandals drowning out democracy? Labor Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer resigned yesterday. What the greatest hits list she leaves behind is pretty grim. She allegedly had an affair with her own security detail. She kept bourbon, Kahlua, and champagne in her office. She took staff to a strip club on a government trip. She used taxpayer dollars for fake official trips to visit friends. Her husband got banned from Labor Department headquarters after two female employees accused him of sexually assaulting them. And she reportedly retaliated against those two women. Meanwhile, her elderly father was texting young female staffers, asking them to keep their meetings private. She's the third woman Trump has pushed out of his cabinet in 7 weeks. Kristi Noem was gone in March, Pam Bondi gone earlier this month. Meanwhile, cabinet men with worse track records keep their jobs. And that's just one scandal. Steve Witkoff ran signal chats from Russia. NVIDIA got cleared to sell chips to China for a 25% kickback. Trump tried to fire Fed Governor Lisa Cook over bogus mortgage fraud claims. Vance is meddling in prosecutions. Steve Bannon once said the way to beat the media is to flood the zone. Well, it's working. Democracy dies when nobody can keep track. Does this administration's cruelty have any bottom? Meet Sergeant First Class Jose Serrano. 27 years in the Army, deployed to Afghanistan. On April 14th, his wife, Daisy, walked into an El Paso immigration office for her parole and place interview, the program designed to protect military spouses. ICE arrested her on the spot. A federal judge granted her protection from deportation to El Salvador back in 2019 under the Convention Against Torture. So Stephen Miller's ICE plans to ship her to Mexico instead, a country she's never lived in. Serrano can't visit her because active duty soldiers can't travel to Mexico. And this is the policy? The administration's already spent $40 million shipping migrants to places like Congo, Uganda, and South Sudan. Over $133,000 per person. This is what cruelty as policy looks like. Are Israeli soldiers using rape as a weapon in the West Bank? A new report from the West Bank Protection Consortium says yes. Researchers interviewed 83 Palestinian communities and documented 16 cases of conflict-related sexual violence over 3 years. And those are just the cases survivors were willing to report. Palestinian men, women, and children described forced nudity, invasive body cavity searches, Israeli soldiers exposing themselves to minors, and threats of rape. In Wadi el-Sheikh, saw settlers and soldiers stripped villagers, urinated on them, and attempted to assault one man with a broom handle. They photographed it and shared the pictures. Girls are quitting school. Parents are marrying off daughters as young as 15 just to protect them from the soldiers. More than two-thirds of families surveyed said rising sexual violence was the breaking point that made them leave their land. That's ethnic cleansing by humiliation. And we, the United States, are funding it. Will Silicon Valley turn your nurse into a gig worker? A report just out from the Roosevelt Institute sounds the alarm on what they're calling Uber for nursing. Companies like ShiftKey, ShiftMed, CareRev, and Clipboard Health have raised hundreds of millions from venture capital to turn bedside nursing into piecework. Nurses bid against each other for shifts by offering to work for less. One nurse's $23 an hour ends up at $13 an hour after the app's safety fee, insurance fees, payday fees, and shift fees. No supervisor, no accountability, no training at the facility. And now these companies are running the Uber playbook in state legislatures, lobbying to get nurses classified as independent contractors with no labor protections. Colorado even already passed it. Your loved one's nurse could be a stranger who just bid lowest on an app. That's not healthcare. That's a race to the bottom with your life. And that's the way it is today, Tuesday, April 21st. I'm Tom Hartman. Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at tomhartman.com. So have you noticed that the Republicans are pretty much not talking about a constitutional convention anymore? They used to be gung-ho to rewrite the Constitution. You know, they wanted to put corporate personhood in there. They wanted to change it so that women can't vote. They wanted to do away with the election of senators, repeal the 17th Amendment, take us back to them being appointed by the states. They had all these weird—they wanted to outlaw labor unions, all these weird ideas, but they've stopped talking about it. I mean, they're still moving forward on it, but it's not Project 2025, for example. You know, their ultimate talking document does not have one single mention in it about a constitutional convention. Why would that be? Well, it's because the Supreme Court is doing their work for them. I mean, you know, just they have overturned Article 2. They've overturned the first, fourth, ninth, and 14th amendments. They've overturned Article 1, Section 7. All the details of this whole thing are over at HartmanReport.com. You got to check it out. And welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, Tony in Fort Lewis, Washington. Hey, Tony, what's on your mind today?
Oh, Mr. Hartman, it's a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Thank you. Back at you.
Hey, a long-time listener, and I will tell you I've learned more from you than I've learned from my own father, so that's a plus.
Well, that's high praise. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, so the reason why I'm calling you, right, we were told today, I'm a fellow employee, that Donald Trump signed an executive order and unions are no longer part of the federal government as of today.
I'll have to look that up. I know that he tried something like that. I didn't.
We got the memo just a little while ago, and I guess the word is out. If you get in trouble, no one's coming to save you. You're on your own.
Wow. No, federal unions still legally exist, but the Trump administration's second term has stripped them of collective bargaining rights and access, leaving them badly weakened. These orders expand the use of national security exclusions. Agencies such as the Veterans Administration, HHS, NASA, and the National Weather Service have terminated or refused to renew union contract. Holy cow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, we got a memo. We got a memo, Tom, just a little while ago.
Who's we?
They brought everybody in and said, hey, this is just signed, just off the print, and it is what it is.
What agency is that, Tony, if you don't mind my asking?
Department of War.
Wow, the Department of Defense? Incredible.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, let me do a little digging into this, Tony. Thank you for the tip on that. I knew it was coming, but I didn't realize today was the day. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, sir, and I appreciate everything you do for all of us.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some digging into this, and we will be talking about it more. Thank you, John in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is Medicare and Medicare Advantage.
Okay.
As of last week, I became an official OG and got my first Medicare card.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm also a disabled veteran, but what I told your call screener was months leading up to me getting my Medicare card, all the spam calls that I've got for Medicare Advantage. And I like to thank you because 5 years ago when I was listening to how you talked about the Medicare Advantage scam, which it really is.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm a disabled veteran, and I use the VA as my primary care because I get all my medications for free.
Mm-hmm.
And from listening to you, that allowed me to get rid of Medicare Part B, which would have been coming out of my Social Security.
Yeah.
Income and the tune of about $240 a month.
Yeah, with VA, so you've got socialized medicine. It's a great program.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a great program. A great program, which should be the model for the rest of the U.S.
I agree.
In my view.
I agree.
Okay, but it's just the scams. I felt like this in my spam box. Hey, we're trying to sign me up for Aetna and all the other Medicare Advantage scam company. So I just want to say to any fellow veterans who are in the same boat like mine is to skip Medicare Advantage. You're basically hurting yourselves by doing that.
Yeah.
And one more thing, I'm so glad that I got into it now with this administration because I had read that down the road they want to, when you come close to Medicare age, is to automatically put you on Medicare Advantage instead of giving you the choice to choose between.
That's correct. That's Dr. Oz. He's in charge of it, of course, Center for Medicare Services. That's his innovative new idea is let's automatically sign people up with Medicare Advantage as soon as they turn 65. Make it easy for them.
No, what was easy for me was getting on Medicare.
Exactly. But they want to do away with real Medicare. I mean, they've now in six states. I don't think you're in one of them. I don't recall the other five. I know Washington State, just north of me, right across the river here, is one of those states. The federal government has imposed on them. They're now bringing private insurance companies into real Medicare to decide, to do the pre-clearance stuff, the pre-approvals for medical procedures, which Medicare doesn't normally do. So the Republicans are absolutely committed to destroying Medicare. They voted against it in 1965 when Lyndon Johnson pushed it through. They've hated it ever since. They call it socialized medicine. The billionaires are like, you know, why should we have to pay for the health care for these damn poor people? And but, you know, we all need to fight to keep Medicare. John, thanks. That was very informative. You did a fine public service today. I appreciate
Thank
the call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Igor in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Igor, what's on your mind today?
Tom, the movie 7 Days in May came out in 1964, and it was about a military cabal led by Burt Lancaster. He's the general. Mm-hmm. March was the president. And that was a colonel to general.
Igor, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a minute. I keep saying I need to reach out to Chase, and I keep forgetting to do it. Maybe sometimes it comes back after a second. Why don't you try again? Let's see if you're still breaking up. Keep talking.
Is this any better?
Yeah, now it's working.
Okay.
Oh, now it's not. I'm gonna put you on hold, Igor. We'll come right back to you. I'm so sorry for this. I think it's our telephone provider. But Tom in Celebration, Florida. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind today?
Good, Tom. How are you doing today?
Good. Good. What's up?
Good. Hey, we're hitting the nail right on top of the head. Our problem is the billionaires. So let's look at the pyramid here. So at the very, very top, we had the billionaires and then all the corporations that they've built underneath. So our money is the multi millionaires and the billionaires. So below that then, because these guys have more money than God, so they see themselves above everyone else. So we come down to our government. You know, which is for government was made to help to bring equality to the people because of what the billionaires they run with a rule fist and mm-hmm. and we see because that's happening now and we see that the billionaires on here on this plane they use money as their weapon to control humanity.
I get that. How are you tying that into the war in Iran?
Oh, I'm not. This is the war of the world.
Oh, I see.
Is the billionaire yeah. controlling?
Yeah, like Warren Buffett said. There is a class war, and my class is winning.
Yes.
So.
I want to. Be the Bernie's number two here because mm-hmm. he's getting up in age to pick up his mantle.
Yeah,
but yeah, that is the very fight that they are fighting for is to keep the status quo as where we are today because everyone loves the Bible, Jesus said, pay your taxes to Caesar, and this is where the kicker is right here. And then Jesus says, give what is to Caesar, and then Caesar, what Caesar doesn't need, give back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem lies.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
no, I think you're right, Tom.
Reality.
It is a fundamental evil, frankly, and it's called greed. Tom, thank you. Well said. Igor, you want to try it again?
Yeah, let's go another time. And the other point I wanted to make, when I called you, I think it was a week or two ago, about mm-hmm. the Army, the military raising the enlistment age to age 42.
Right.
What I think is going on is that minorities, young women, are seeing what's going on with the Defense Department. And also, if you're a young man fond of war games like Call of Duty, would you rather be an ICE agent and get a bonus of $50,000 and nobody can shoot back at you versus going into the military where they can shoot back at you?
Oh, that's a good point.
So the Trump policies are kind of creating their own headache.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, if you make $200,000 a year as an ICE agent, you know, between the $50,000 signing bonus and the $2,500 per brown person that you can snatch bonuses and all this other stuff, that could have something to do with it. And yeah, I think young people are looking at this going, this doesn't look like such a good deal to me. Igor, thank you. Thank you very much. Very thoughtful analysis. I appreciate it. And my apologies for our phones screwing up. I did just send a text message to our engineer asking him to fix it. Igor, thank you. It's 46 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay tuned. It's the Tom Hartman Program, the True People's Media.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where despair is not an option. I'll be right back with your calls. And welcome back, Devon in Pittsburgh. Hey, Devon, what's on your mind today?
On my mind today, and you know, I just want to say that I fear that America has become comfortably numb because there is so much going on every day.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday seems to have slipped through the main news, but 120 veterans were protesting the war in Iran in the Capitol Rotunda, and all 120 were arrested.
Right.
Now, how does that comply with our Constitution?
Well, I think they're saying that they were trespassing, aren't they? I mean, isn't that the specific thing that they're going after them?
Well, I don't know. I can't imagine that protesting in the Capitol Rotunda about a current policy of the government is somehow trespassing. I don't get that.
Yeah. I don't know specifically what they were charged with, so it's hard for me to. I haven't read a news story. I caught it yesterday in passing on one of the network programs, but without knowing the specifics, I do know that, you know, I think it's a good thing that veterans are showing up and expressing their displeasure. I support that. I entirely support that. But in terms of the legality of the arrests, I can't speak to it, Devon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe someone can call their, you know, elected representatives and find out what the basis of those arrests were and what's happening to those veterans who put their life on the line for our country, after all.
Yeah. Well, getting arrested in D.C. for protesting is a real common thing, and it's basically just a kind of a little routine thing, you know. Not a big deal.
For
It's
even a way to attract the press.
Well, that's the whole point of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the whole point
exactly.
of it. So, yeah. So, but I need to learn more. Devon, thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. Joe in Van Nuys, California. Hey, Joe, what's up?
All right, let me just take you off the speaker.
That's okay. Just hold the microphone up to your mouth. I can't tell the difference.
Oh, yeah, I had to take you off the speakerphone.
Okay.
Is it better now?
Yeah. What's up?
Oh, good. All right, I agree with everything you said this morning. You hit on like 20 good points, but you missed out Jeff Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Charlotte is kind of full circle. And the first time I called you is about Jeff Charlotte and the family.
Right.
It first came Jeff Charlotte, 1958.
Right. He wrote the book, The Family. Yeah. And then they made it into a movie. I'm in the movie, actually. Yeah, the documentary. It's on Netflix.
I know, and people need to watch it because it's the hub of why we are here. Because before the Nazis or the Christian nationalists, we'll call them, do a very mathematically, they go, we get one step, and then we go step two, step three. Step one was crossing religion with politics and the prayer breakfast, which is what the family did.
Yep.
All right, and then we can go to the John Birch Society. And on and on and on.
Yeah, although the John Birch Society preceded the family. But yes, I get it.
I thought the family was 1953.
Oh, really?
The family was brought to the prayer breakfast was started in 1953, and just the first thing they.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I may be wrong, Joe. I thought it was more recent than that, but I'll take your word for it. You clearly paid more attention to it than me. Interesting.
Oh, I am a conspiracy buff. It is the hub of every conspiracy in this country.
I think it is.
It answered everything after watching that movie. I have so much respect for Jeff Charlotte.
Yeah, it's a great documentary. People can watch it on Netflix, I'm pretty sure. Joe, thank you. Thanks for pointing it all out. That's good. Thank you. 51 minutes past the hour. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So MAGA Mike and the Republicans want a religious test for people running for public office. They want to know that you are sufficiently Christian to be worthy of being elected. Right. MAGA Mike is one of these seven mountain evangelicals. There are seven domains where these dominionists believe that we need to have religion completely take them over. Education, religion, family, business, government and military, arts and entertainment, and the media. Seriously. This is not what Jesus was preaching when he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's. This is the opposite, in fact, of what Jesus was teaching. It's the opposite of Matthew 25, where Jesus said the only way to get to heaven is by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, helping the poor. This is counter-Christian, anti-Christian, in fact. In fact, I think you could say it is the Antichrist's work. There's a piece about it over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. Our Ed in Stony Brook, New York. Hey, Ed, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. What's on your mind?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was listening to you. Yeah, I love your show, man, but sometimes it's very disheartening for me. Especially the information about how they're turning nurses into peace workers.
Yeah.
I mean, healthcare is a human right. And the corporation of healthcare in this country, it's appalling. I've had several family members that suffered from chronic illnesses. And like my uncle, he went broke. We had the rally to support him.
Mm-hmm.
This country doesn't make you well. The American diet is disgusting.
Yeah.
And you can't afford to be sick. Because it's a business. It's a corporation that feeds disease. And it needs to be destroyed. I mean, honestly, it needs to be destroyed. It's very disheartening.
I'm with you. We should tear the whole thing down and start over with a national health care system like Costa Rica has, or like Denmark has, or like Germany or France. Fill in the blanks.
Exactly. I've been in the service. Germany or Switzerland. You know, healthcare is a human right.
Yeah.
It saves the society. It prevents the spread of disease. It prevents the corruption of society. You can live. If you can't be healthy, you can't live.
Yep.
No matter how much money you got.
In the 34 OECD countries, the 34 member countries of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, what are generally regarded as the 34 richest countries in the world, there are 500,000 medical bankruptcies every year where families get wiped out because somebody got sick. 100% of those 500,000 bankruptcies, all of them, every single one of them, happens in the United States of America. None of them happen in any of these other countries. You said it so well, Ed. Thank you so much for that. Roger in Orlando, Florida. Hey, Roger, what's on your mind today?
Good morning from afternoon Central Florida.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to correct the previous caller. He was talking about the movie Failsafe, not 7 Days in May.
Oh, okay.
Henry Fonda was the president, and he had to sacrifice New York City, where his wife was at the time, at the end of the movie.
Oh, in Failsafe?
A rogue U.S. bomber was about to nuke Moscow.
Uh-huh.
But the reason I'm calling, are you familiar with a late British journalist named Robert Fisk?
Sounds familiar, but I can't say why.
Well, he was he left us 6 years ago, but he lived in Beirut, Lebanon for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
The premier war correspondent of his time, Chris Hedges, who knew him, said, who spoke with his former wife Laura Marlowe, a U.S. journalist. They were together for 15 or 16 years. Mm-hmm. But he said this book that he wrote, The Great War for Civilization, mm-hmm. named after his father who was in World War One, mm-hmm. The Conquest of the Middle East, is probably the premier book to read about learning about the modern Gulf in the Middle East. But quickly, Robert Fisk did a thing in Berkeley, California in 2009 called The Age of the Warrior, his previous book before mm-hmm. The Great War for Civilization. And he spoke about how Donald Rumsfeld changed the U.S. Soldier's Creed and added the word warrior twice. Maybe his previous book, The Age of the Warrior, was connected.
Interesting.
But it feeds into what mice have done, and they put M in front of ICE because M is for M-A-S-K-E-D, and now they're murdering, too,
yeah.
But mice agents. But when Osama, or when it just feeds into the P-TECH says, you know, macho stuff, the shootings and the, you know, showing Trump the videos to, you know, instead of the briefs.
Yeah.
But there was a Saudi Arabian friend of Robert Fisk, because Robert Fisk was the only journalist who interviewed bin Laden three times.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time, Saudi Arabian friend of Robert Fisk said, Robert, you need to go interview Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
That Saudi Arabian's friend name was Jamal Khashoggi.
Oh, wow. Wow, the guy that MBS yeah. murdered.
But anyway, I urge you to check him out, Robert Fisk, and a late British journalist.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I think knows more about the Middle East that I know of right now is Malcolm Nance, because I've been listening to Malcolm's War Report in the morning.
Yeah.
But I've revisited this Iranian stuff since the war, but it's incredible. Tom, thanks. I hear the music. Love y'all. Yeah.
Thank you, Roger.
Calling again. This is the first time I got through in ages, but
I'm glad you're here, Roger.
And,
thank you. And I'm with you on Malcolm. Malcolm's a good man, and he does great work. We have him on the program from time to time. Thank you, Roger. We'll be back. We're hitting the top of the hour here. Rachel Bitticofer right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
X-Ray FM is supported by our friends at Harka Architecture, whose mission is to uplift your ideas and our community. Harka brings expertise in toxicity, high performance, and resiliency to all their projects. They are a full-service architectural and interior firm specializing in middle housing infill, ADUs, remodels, and adaptive commercial reuse.
Hi, X-Ray listeners. This is Tom from the Tom Hartman Program here to wish X-Ray FM a happy birthday. Okay, X-Ray's birthday is technically March 15th, but every year in the spring, X-Ray has a pledge drive to celebrate another year on the air and rally the community to continue supporting their mission to create a cultural hub in service of a more open media and a more just society. And that's just what you get with X-Ray. It's a cultural hub because it's a place for members of our community to gather and share their voices, just like my program. When we make media accessible, the community is strengthened. So support the community through the Spring Pledge Drive. It's on right now and you can support today. Any gift you give goes directly to making sure this community platform sticks around and grows. Make a gift by visiting the website at xray.fm and hit the big blue donate button, or call 503-233-9729. That's 503-233-X-RAY. Tell them Tom sent you.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online at